And this is the time where God's people need to know an awful lot about Jesus, as much as they can learn, because it will help them grow spiritually and it will please God. So what I've got in mind next is, when we're just going to keep going. I can teach Bible geography. I was taught by David Robinson, who's a very good teacher. Mike can get a cheap book. I can make copies out of the thing, and I can teach it just like he taught me. And I can also teach Bible geography and Bible manners and customs. And Bible manners and customs is a very dull course if you're not careful. But if you know the scriptures and you can point out in the book, and Mike can maybe get me an old cheap one, if they're cheap enough, we might get everybody in the class one. We'll see. That's just what I'm thinking anyway. But there's lots of things we can teach. And we'll have them, every one of them will be Bible oriented. We'll use the scriptures to point out some things. And when you read the Bible, you'll know as much about it as we do. And sometimes we forget that we've studied Bible mask. We've done all that. And so if we can do the same thing that we either learned ourselves or somebody taught us, I think you'll enjoy it. So I'm not dictating what we're going to do, but I'm telling you what I've got in mind. And I hope we can just keep on going forever. You say, well, are you sure? Well, that's a big book. And I've been here a long time, and I haven't preached everything in there. And some of it I've preached incorrectly. But I'd like to make a chance to make up for that. Okay. Now, when Tom and Brown came up here, I was amazed. When I came out of seminary, I had finished Greek, and I knew how to teach it and everything else, but it's like anything else. You just forget it. So when he came up here and started teaching, I learned a lot of things that I had forgotten. And he taught them. He taught more than I had ever learned. So I appreciated that. Now, the Beatitude teachings prepare you for the kingdom of God. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? These Beatitude teachings will prepare you for the kingdom of God. It'll tell you what He expects you to do after you become a child of God. And this is an oddball here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the word shall here is different from the other shells in there. It starts off, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a present indicative active. And I told you I wasn't going to do this, and I promise I won't do it a lot. But the others are, until you get out of the last one, they're all future. And so this one here in Matthew 5:5 is different from all the other shells. Shell is a future active, indicative, third person, plural. They shall be inheriting the earth. Now I'll tell you what those big, long, fancy things mean. Future active, indicative, third person, plural. The meek aren't acted upon, but they are the ones directly involved, engaged in the action of inheriting promises in the millennial and heaven ages. That's what it says, and that's what it means. So let's look at this meekness. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, Lord have mercy. When I first came up here and I discovered that, after I had looked at the verse above it, I wore that thing to a frazzle, and I preached it everywhere I went. And I loved it from the depths of my soul. Now, we know that Jesus was meek. He said so. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, Jesus took a whip, and he took it to the people, the money exchangers, and the people selling poor, lame animals and birds on the Temple Mount to people for a high price, and the priest got a kickback from it. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and the people love to have it so. So Jesus was a very active man, and his character was lowly in heart. But he was a man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. But when someone actually defiled his father's house and was selling corrupt animals, fowls, overcharging the people, and the priests were getting a kickback, he showed his righteous indignation. There's a difference when God shows his righteous indignation and our righteous indignation. I'm afraid most of the time it isn't our righteous indignation that we're showing, it's our carnality. I didn't say at all times it was. He said, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." Well, in Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." That's the full inheritance. Well, who has the full inheritance? The only man who ever came was Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He was sinless humanity, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. He never thought an evil thought. He never sinned once. And he was the overcomer. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Well, he did. "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me," he said, before he gave the Great Commission. Isaiah tells us he's the everlasting Father. He's Almighty God. He's the Comforter. He's the Prince of Peace. That man overcame. And he has been elevated to be God in all his fullness in heaven. He has fulfilled the office of the Son. Quite frankly, he's still working in it. But he also operates in the Holy Spirit's realm and in his office. And he also operates in the Father's office. Now that's quite a God. And it's the only God. And he's the one that we serve. He says, "And he shall be my son." Jesus is the only sinless flesh and blood man who kept every jot and tittle of the law, who was a quickening spirit in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. It's God. Now look up there where it says, "For they shall inherit the earth." And let's take a look at what that means when they say future active indicative third person plural. Meek aren't acted upon, but they are the ones directly involved, engaged in the action of inheriting promises in the millennium and heaven ages, and they are saved, and the Spirit of God in all its fullness is in us in the person of Christ. And whenever he works in us and we submit, he overcomes in us. And when we resist and won't obey him, we are the ones that stop him from overcoming in us. And the truth of the matter is, he's a quickening spirit. The first Adam was a living soul. He's a quickening spirit. And he was made a living spirit. And he prayed to God in the office of God. He prayed It was an intercommunication system with the Godhead, who is one God. And he was a quickening spirit. When it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which the head of all principality and power." Well, if I'm complete in him, who's in me? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working in three offices. But there's only one God. Now in Ephesians 6 and 12, notice in the last verse, Colossians 2 and 10, "And ye are complete of him, which is the head of all principality and power." Okay, how are we going to overcome that principality and power? Because the prince of darkness is involved in all this. And after we're saved, he doesn't want us to give any glory to God. He doesn't want us to let God work in him. And he works through our carnal nature. And he tries to get our carnal nature to look at something, do something, think something, say something, suspect something that will cause us to lose fellowship with God, so they can't see him in us. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not in your own might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You can't do it, but God can, and God will, if you go to him and ask him to deliver you from the temptation you're going through. Sometimes you'll go ahead and do that thing, no matter what. And it's the same God that loves you, that will convict you, and will cause you to repent. Believe me, he will never leave you nor forsake you. But what a God to let you grieve him when he has all power in heaven and in earth and doesn't seem to get tired of you and tries to help you even when you sin and you don't want him to work in you. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high." And that word is ouranos. It means heavenly places. Heavenly places all around us here. Heavenly places up there. He works. The devil works very hard to stop us from letting Jesus live his life in us as the overcomer. Because he defeated the devil. He has the power to deliver us from it. But wet carnal nature that we have is a functioning part of us. And it causes us to do some silly things and think some silly things, to be suspicious of one another. It makes all these things happen because we kind of like it that way. Revelation 19:7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." How did she do that? She submitted her will to the Lord, and she obeyed the Lord. And that's why Mary of Bethany is the woman who received a memorial from God. She was interested in what God had to say, and the Spirit of God guided her. Jesus said, "What an if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The way she made herself ready is what we're supposed to do right now. The living Word is God's Word. And when we ask God to help us with this thing that we're fighting against and to help us submit to his will, he will. But sometimes we kind of like to muddle around where we are because we kind of like it. Who's the we? Me and my carnal nature. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, sanctified by the washing of water by the word. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Well, where'd they get that righteousness? From Jesus, who is God. And they sought his righteousness. You said, well, will I ever have anything that righteousness that God didn't give me? No, you won't. You won't. You can't create your own righteousness. But what you can do is to seek his righteousness by seeking the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's a day at a day fight. And you don't reach a plateau and say, well, I'll never fall off this plateau. Sure as shooting, you'll fall off of it the next week. You say, well, how does God put up with that? Long suffering. And that's one of the things we're supposed to do, be long suffering with one another. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to live in that city. And God has taught me some things, going through all these names that he has, that lets me know what I'm supposed to do to please God. And I learn new things all the time. And they aren't hard to do. You just have to learn that you're a little, small, helpless child and keep running to God and asking him to humble you. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, that future aorist indicative third person plural, that's talking about the millennial reign. You ever wonder why it seems to be a difference between the people in the city in the millennial reign and the people outside it, and the people inside the heavenly city and those outside it? Did you ever notice there's a difference? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We all know the saints are coming back, don't we? We all know Jesus is going to judge them in heaven. We know that. They all come back to earth, and they're all on the earth. Are they all going to reign on the earth? That's an interesting question. Oh yeah, God wouldn't. They'll all reign just the same. They'll all have the same glorified bodies. No, the faithful are going to reign on this earth. And guess who's going? He's going to use to go in the millennial reign outside of the gates of it and go out and straighten out any messes that those people out there who still have their carnal nature are making. You say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. Amen. Ken, you're like a nervous ninny all the time. You got to boom, 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 boom. And I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to find out what's there and what I'm going to do. And that's the truth. You say, well, now it says it's the only one it's the only promise. I can't remember. But anyway, blessed are they which are called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the other reason that's different from all the rest of them, they're going to reign with him. And he's talking about the millennial reign. We're not going to reign on this earth as in this kingdom. It has to be the next. You say, well, won't it continue into the heaven age? Haven't you noticed that at the end of every one of those things he teaches, he says that it's going to phase right on in? It doesn't stop. Matthew 5. And 5 on the back. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Shall is a future active indicative third person plural. They all shall be inheriting the earth. The meek aren't acted upon, but they are the ones directly involved, engaged in the action of inheriting promises in the millennium and heaven ages. I take that as a promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, how do you do that? You learn how He did things. And that's why these names mean so much. You learn about Him. You learn about His character. You understand what it means to be meek. You understand a lot of other things. And you see His righteousness manifested. And so if you see it and you know it's His, just follow His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let yourself get distracted, cumbered. If you get cumbered, smile and get over it. And keep on doing what you were called to do and what God has you doing in the church, whatever it may be. Now, in Galatians 2:20 and 21, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, how does that work? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My life, I live by the faith of the Son of God, because the more I know about Him, the more I understand about how I live by His faith and not my own, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, Paul said, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The bride of Christ made herself ready by submission to the Spirit of God's faith living inside her to deliver her from daily evil. She lets the mind of Christ Jesus deliver her from each daily temptation. Do I practice that all the time? No. But God's taught me to do it more often than I did in the past. And it doesn't take me as long to repent. You say, well, will you ever be just like Jesus in this life? Will you ever be able to walk on water, turn water into wine? Absolutely not. But there's no reason that I can't love Him more, because He can and has, and there's no question that He is God Almighty. Sometimes she lets the flesh override the spirit, but later exercises 1 John 1:8 and 9. That's what the bride does up here, the she. Don't you give in to your husband sometimes when you know he's wrong? Well, that's what we're supposed to be. We are brides. And if we can do that to husbands that we know are wrong, that's a very godly attitude, and it will help your husband to respect you more. Because your husband usually knows when he's wrong. He may never get around to tell you, but he knows. Faithfulness to God in both the Old and New Testament will determine where you live, how you appear, what you wear, and what you do forever in heaven. That's the truth. So here you are this morning, and I'm sure glad to see you. I'm glad to see you because Christ inside me is glad to see you. Because I know you're here. And I know that you wouldn't be here if you weren't seeking after the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 42. Now this is the millennial reign. In the visions of God brought he me to the land of Israel and set me up on a very high mountain. The Bible doesn't say what mountain it was. Most scholars, whatever they're worth, say it was probably the Mount... up in the north. We went up there. Hermon. Of course, if you're a music director, that's Mount Hermon. Yeah. By which he was... Robert, I didn't really mean that way. It was the frame of a city on the south. Now you go to the last chapter in Ezekiel. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Well, that's the millennial reign. And here we go into the heaven, final heaven reign. Matthew 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. We know which one that was. We're pretty sure of it anyway. Mount Tabor. And showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, you're the one that makes the choice. You made a choice whether you were going to be saved or not. The fact that God knew you'd make it in advance, he didn't predestinate you that you had to make it. That's Calvinism. But he's given, your life's full of choices. You came this morning by choice. And you were saved by choice. And you served by choice. But this helps you to understand who you're serving. And man, listen, this thing of serving God, as Leonard says, you're the benefactor. And you're going to realize how much of a benefactor you are when you get up there.